Again, today's Rosh Chodesh. You didn't know? If you dive in here in the morning, I'm sure it was hard to. Although they finished pretty quickly.
Yeah,
it was like a little over an hour, so.
They didn't do a lot of things.
I don't know what's going on. Yerida Todoros, I guess. There's a rabbi in Muncie, Rabbi Viner. He's actually Judah's uncle, except for the part of him being Judah's uncle. But Rabbi Viner has a sefer of contemporary halacha shailos, and somebody once asked him, like Ginsburg would ask like this, "Hey Rabbi," or something like that, "do you have to have Malava Malka on Motzei Shabbos?" That was a question, and Rabbi Viner responded. He said yes, but Rabbi Viner said, "We're Jews. We like to eat. This is actually, I've heard it in Leva Torah. I couldn't believe this. Actually, why they got rid of Malava Malkas. Some guys would come, basically in their underwear and just grab pizza and then leave and not even know that there was a Malava Malka. So as Jews, we like food. So Rabbi Viner said, you're going to go up to Shemayim and God's going to ask Gersh's first Shiloh, who made the best potato cookie. He's going to say Rakeni. He's still talking about that. He'll still be talking about that when he's 90. So as Jews, we like food. So Rabbi Viner said over, when you get up to Shemayim, God's going to ask you, did you follow halacha? Maybe you did, maybe you don't. Some things we know we do, some things we don't know we do. But at the very least, you want to tell Hashem, anything pertaining to food, that I was able to do. I was able to handle food. As we introduced Yoshua to frozen cookies, he didn't know about that. Now he knows a new way. Now he knows frozen cookies are so much better than cookies hot out of the oven. He knows that. I think we still have those. They all have on Shabbos.
No, they do forever.
They last forever. Frozen stuff lasts forever. It just means cookies that were frozen. He knows a new way. But we all like. He didn't take the chant though. We all like food. So we want. When it comes to that, we want to be able to tell Hashem that I'm always able to do. Some other things. Maybe davening. Maybe brachos. Maybe going to the merkaz and keeping our eyes. Not at women, those stuff might be challenging. But it's not going to be that challenging to be able to finish like a shawarma. That's not the most challenging thing in the world. So it happens to be today, those are Rosh Chodesh as we started. So there's the halacha brought down. It's even tough yud tes. For those of you that are doing Lepan, it could be good practice. You could open up a Shulchan Aruch and look at it. It's really, really short. I think it's like four words. That it's I think, I don't know the exact words, but basically it says to have a sudas Rosh Chodesh, mitzvah have a sudas Rosh Chodesh, something along those lines. Now it doesn't mean that if you tell me Rabbi, I had not Rabbi or Yehovah Paltiel, you tell me Mark, I had a sudas Rosh Chodesh, but I was the one to the ferret and I got a woman pregnant. I'm not going to tell you that a sudas Rosh Chodesh is better than not getting the woman pregnant. So if you don't have a sudas Rosh Chodesh, you're not going to burn in hell. You're not going to lose your starting quarterback job if you don't have a sudas Rosh Chodesh. You lose it when you throw for 2 yards in the second half. But however, it's an important thing to keep in mind that as Jews we struggle with a lot of things. It happens to be you guys are getting more health conscious. Some of you maybe Charnov will tell you actually having more bread is a bad thing, so you shouldn't have it. Okay, what are you going to do? He's a good rabbi and a great recruiter. We can't get rid of him. Maybe we shouldn't be allowed to talk about, what we should eat. But okay, be it as it may.
It's corn.
Or the oatmeal and all the other garbage that you eat. It's ridiculous. Just eat real food. Talk to Ginsburg. Talk to Ginsburg, the other Ginsburg, about what you should actually be eating. But as today is Rosh Chodesh, I don't know if you had it for breakfast or not. Tomorrow also, but to try to really take that to mind and be makbid to try to watch, because one is brought down in Shulchan, the Stipler Gon in one of his Musar Sfarim has a whole shtickle how by Malava Malka, which is another thing, not that you shouldn't be wearing your underwear and stealing pizza, you should actually take it seriously. But that's also a very, very short Simon Shin. It's very, very short. And the Stipler says sometimes you say so much and nobody can pay attention. That's why they shouldn't bring me in. You talk too much, nobody pays attention. But the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, wanted to be very, very clear. I'm not going to go all wordy. I'm not going to say a lot of things. People, I understand we're going to get to a point people won't know Hebrew. They'll have to keep it really, really short. Or even people translating Hebrew, they don't really know Hebrew particularly well. We'll have to keep it really, really short. So I'm going to have each one be five words to understand significance. Malava Malka, you should wash. And have a Malava Malka. And Sudas Rosh Chodesh, you should wash. But the same idea, to keep that in mind. There's things that we definitely struggle with, But food, I mean, you don't want to do a chilas gossip, but food should not be one of those things that we're struggling because Jews like to have food. So if you're going to go wash yesterday, chaval, just go wash today. If you can't have carbs or other stuff like that, so talk to your local Orthodox carbohydrate rabbi. Okay, moving on. Parshas Toldos. We miss Chayasara, but we'll get Toldos. We'll discuss two ideas at the beginning of the parsha when it's going. It's very wordy. Sefer Bereishis. They go through a lot of generations. Like imagine if Gavi, when he put out Lev HaBanim, would give us like a whole story about like Waxman, who's writing going back 35 generations. Waxman's a great guy. I love Waxman. You think I could care less going back 35 generations? But very wordy. The Torah is very wordy in Sefer Bereishis. They like to tell us all these names that we don't pay attention to. You know, we just, maybe, like when you're trying to name a child, you'll look into the Torah to try to find the potential names, but I don't really care about what's going on. But by Rivka, it says that Rivka had a brother, Lavan. She had a father, Bethuel, and she lived in Padan Aram. That's what she said. They tell us all three of these things. Seemingly irrelevant things. And Rashi points out there, so we can talk about, another time we'll talk about Shai Mikra, but you know, we should do Shai Mikra also. That's like Sudas Rosh Chodesh. You know, we should do, that's also a Din of Shulchan Aruch. We should do that as well. But Rashi points out there, what's going on here? Why are you telling us all three of these things? And it's really, attributing the godless of Rivka. Rivka had a brother, Lavan, who was terrible. Sometimes, you know, you have bad brothers, you have bad sisters, you know, they give you a reputation. There's a person in my neighborhood who lives across from me. They're like the most, how have I could be like them. They're like the most erlich couple in the world. He's a Baal Tshuva. I don't really know her story, but I mean, she like grew up like modern Orthodox, but I have like this just like, I just view them as being on such a high pedestal, like such perfect Jews, like what I emulate to be. But she grew up in the neighborhood of my cousins, and I'm kind of afraid to ask her if she knew my cousins, because if she said she knew them back in the day, it's going to really, really change my personification. But sometimes, but that's why I'm never going to ask her, because I have to just see them as perfect Tumim Yidden, because they really are like the most perfect people. They actually, just to get on them, you know, segue on them, I have no interest in having a foster child. That's not like something my wife and I discuss, but that was something they always wanted to do. So they took in a foster child who has Downs and cancer, and they knew that. So just to get like, you know, like you know, if you're born with that, okay, you have a child born with that. What are you going to do? That's you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles, as they say in Bruce Almighty. But to like intentionally take that upon yourself and like going from hospital to hospital, like, you know, like when my kids are like out in the park, I'm just hoping they like really don't kill anyone. Like they're like kids, like literally every 3 seconds they need to pick them up so like that they don't like eat grass and other stuff. Like unbelievable people. So I can't change my view of them, so I can't find out anything. But you know, you can have bad siblings and they can negatively affect you. You can have bad parents and they can negatively affect you. And probably the most relevant is you can live in a city and a town which can negatively affect you. And by Rivka, it didn't matter. She had all three of those. You know, it's also like, if you want to like be a little cynical or real, it's like, if we believe Rivka got married at three, like, you know, call a spade, like, how much could really have happened by the time she was three? But I guess if you were able to get married at three, you know, it was different times than we're living in 2000, you know. I couldn't imagine my 3.5-year-old being married, so, or my 7-year-old, or maybe anyone in this room. So, you know, what are you gonna do? But I guess times are different. But in any event, Rivka wasn't affected by that. But I hear this a lot. It's like a common excuse. Like, and those are like an understanding that we have to have. Like, you know, we weren't born in B'nai Brak. We're not like Rechaim Kanievsky, Rebbe Yashiv's descendant. Like, we are what we are. Our upcoming is what our upbringing was. What our upbringing is. And we have to make the most of that. We can't just use it, oh, it's not my fault that, you know, this isn't like a knock on any of you. This is just, you know, you just grew up like in a later time than me. But when I went to school, and you know, I was not like a good student. Like in 12th grade, I was in like 4 different shiurim. I played monkey in the middle with my Rebbe's briefcase. Like, you know, I wasn't like, you know, they weren't calling me like future Rebbe Yashiv. Like no one was doing that. But when I went to school, everyone knew how to read. None of us knew what we were reading. You know, we weren't like Judah. Like, none of us knew Hebrew and, like, talking Hebrew to our parents. Like, none of us knew that. But we all knew how to read. Over time, that kind of is, like, abandoned, that, You know, I don't know. Again, I don't know what goes on in like, you know, K through 12 anymore. But that's kind of gone through like gone through the wayside. So it's like easy to say, yeah, I can't do it. I can't be a chazan. I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. But at a certain point, we have to say, okay, if I didn't learn those tools in school, it's time for me to teach myself how to do that. I can't blame my upbringing. I can't blame, oh, I live in this neighborhood. Have you ever been to this neighborhood? Like, you know, it's terrible. There's a lot that we potentially can blame, but blaming accomplishes nothing. If I say, oh, this is, you know, if this had happened and that had happened and 83 other different things had happened and, you know, and Bennett actually got in Cyrus's autograph, you know, how different things would be. Go get his autograph. That's not the way life is. I can't blame my upbringing. I need to be able to bring the most. And I really, on my trip, that was highlighted a lot when in these various secular colleges that, oh, it's very easy to say, like, you know, look at me, like, you know, I'm in Binghamton and, you know, I like put on tefillin today, or, you know, I woke up in a room with the same gender as me, you know, and not the opposite gender. You know, I was able to, you know, what?
Sounds like Liz.
Okay, you're making that reference too much. I wasn't saying it in like a negative connotation. You don't have to take everything in a negative connotation. But you know, you define what's going to be. You define, and also like if you're in a bad town or you have a bad chevra and they're bringing you down, so you say to yourself, Avo says to himself, I'm gonna be Rivka.
Sounds like good.
I'm gonna be Rivka. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I have bad influence, it doesn't matter if I have bad neighbors, it doesn't matter if I have bad parents. None of that is relevant. I'm going to be my own person, and I'm going to create my own narrative. Second idea of the parsha. As the parsha goes further, Yaakov and Esav, they're both born, they're twins. Until they're the age of 13, no one can tell the difference between the two. You know, no one teaches us that. You know, it's like last year before the draft. No one can tell the difference between Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. Trevor Lawrence isn't so great, but you could definitely tell the difference today. But Yaakov and Esav at 13, no one was able to tell the difference between them. It's fascinating. And what happened? Yaakov went to the tents. Yaakov, like, you know, sort of like, you know, okay, this would be like really, really fancy. But Yaakov went to like the tent, he went to the hut, and Esav went to like Beis Avodah Zarah and the prostitute houses. And then they were able to tell the difference. Yaakov was each time learning Torah, and Esav was in Avodah Zarah and had to hide like his belongings with his wife, with his mother, because he didn't trust all the zonas he was with. So you were finally able to tell the difference. And I kind of feel, looking in this room, looking in yeshiva, not exactly true, because there are definitely guys who are different within yeshiva, but more or less, you know, everybody's really the same, more or less. You're all kind of in like that same boat, and you're in that like very, very important stage in your life where you're deciding what's going to be. What am I going to, you know, so Klinger has an advantage because he's going to get inspired mostly Shabbos at the Malav Malka, but the rest of us who won't be at the Malav Malka won't have that opportunity. But more or less, everybody else in the room is in the same boat, and the trajectory that you're about to take in your life. What's going to be? It's very easy. You know, you can have two routes. I'm not like so into like sticky type of things, but whatever. Like we'll call like the Friday learning of the Inshav and Yeshiva. We're going to say for argument's sake that's not sticky because I want to kind of go on that route. If you want to say it's sticky, you know, I could hear them. We're going to go with not sticky. And who's ever not enjoyed having pizza? As we said, we're Jews. We like to eat. And if you're doing something else, like if you're playing football or you're doing chesed or you're out with your girlfriend or doing like anything like constructive on Friday and you're not learning here, no one's going to have an issue with that. It's great. Go do other things. Don't learn as opposed to like doing other things that you want to do. But whether like you're in your dorm and like you're watching like season like 43 of The Simpsons or whatever is new.
That's where it's at.
Or whatever is new on that. That doesn't mean like, I know it's on. I'm not like, I'm just making that as a joke. But I can't currently actually think of anything else that's on. But whether you're watching that, like, yeah, what are you going to do? Like, at this point, are you going to be a person to be like, you know, I'm going to go learn, or am I going to go watch this? Am I going to, you know, there's a Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph that when God dies, he's going to ask Ginsburg six shilas, both Ginsburgs, and one of the questions he's going to ask is where you kovei itim. So when you're in yeshiva, hopefully you're kovei itim, otherwise, hope you make it big, because you should really reimburse your parents. It's not nice. Like, if you're not learning at all while in yeshiva, like 0 minutes a day, like, your parents are paying, like, a lot of money for you to be here. So the nice thing would do, so go become, like, an investment banker or a lawyer or something where you make a nice amount of money. And, you know, I don't know what your relations with your parents are, but, you know, if like, one day, like, my children, like, just wrote me, like, a fat check for, like, $100,000, you know, I'll gladly take it. That'd be nice. Or it would definitely be the alternative of me having to write that for them. So if that's what they're going to do, so then fine, you have to reimburse them. But when you're going to get out of yeshiva, when you're going to be in what we call the real world, you're going to be, you know, a 28-year-old, and you're working, and, you know, you're working hard days, and, you know, you guys are in an unfortunate time because, you know, communication has become, like, so rude. I had a Fitbit until I lost it in the sea, and I've never gotten it back. But evidently, now people have watches even that can read emails. I don't get it. Watches, like, I don't know, like the size of this. I don't know how you can really read an email on a watch. But evidently, now your whole life gets on a watch. So, like, sooner or later, it'll be like your belt and your socks are going to be telling you, like what task you have to do at work. So it'll be 11 o'clock at night. You'll be ready to go to bed. And, like, you'll take off your socks and be like, no. You still have to email boss with, like, whatever you have to do. Like, you're laughing that it's funny. But then, like, in 10 years, you'll be working. There'll be some ridiculous gadget that you're going to be, or not. It'll just be a part of life. And that's what life is going to turn into. So whether or not you're going to be that person who's going to be like, no, I'm going to learn a little bit now. I'm going to be Yaakov Avinu. I'm not going to be Esav. I was the same. In yeshiva, we were all the same. Okay, some are sleeping on some are away, but we didn't, the kids here, we were all the same. But at that point, when we made those decisions, we were going to take a different trajectory in our life. I'm going to be Yaakov. Okay, I don't want to say, you know, Esav's not like the greatest of examples, because there's like a fine line between, like, you know, having avodah zarah and like prostitutes versus watching The Office versus learning Torah. But that decision of what kind of person you're going to be at 30 and 25, 35, 50, whatever it is, when you're a working individual and a family person, that's all starting now. You're all on the same path. But you're going to veer towards different directions, and whatever that spacing is going to keep getting different, and that's going to apply to everything. The kind of woman who right now she can be who knows what she's doing now. Maybe she's sitting in a shir that's far more inspiring than what you're all sitting through. But the kind of person you're going to marry, like, how is she going to dress? Well, you know, I'll just say this. I had great experiences in all the colleges, but I knew I couldn't be a JLIC rabbi, because the thing that bothered me the most was when I was at college and women came to Mincha Ma'ariv in pants. That actually drove me crazy. It's probably not the biggest deal, and I think anyone there is like, okay, what's the big deal? Like, they're adopted. Like,
pants, not a mini skirt.
Yeah, we can talk about that another time, about what's better or worse. But, like, it's not either here nor there. But, like, I don't know, that really drove me crazy. But how your future wife is going to, or what your standards will be, if she's going to cover her hair, Taharas Mishpacha, go to the mikveh, how she treats when she's a nida, all these things, they're all being decided now. I don't think anyone in this room is going to sleep with a woman who's a nida. I don't think any of you are going to do that. I think the barrier of what else might be, whatever is what it is. But I don't think anyone's going to do that. But the level of how much you're each going to care about each specific element of that, that's all being decided now. You're all the same, but you're taking a step here, a step there, another step, and that's forming what it is that you want your life to be. It's a very, very, you know, the Rashi, the Medrash on Yaakov and Esav, it's very, very scary. I really, again, not going to like crazy extremes, although, you know, I said more radical things than that, but it's really wild to believe. Really putting that idea in your head, like, Zach, like, it's pretty nuts. You know, 13 years old, Esav. Who's worse in the? Is anyone worse in the Torah than Esav?
Amalek.
Yeah. Yidamalek.
Bill
Amalek. Okay, fine. So we have other people that are worse. Esav's pretty bad. Esav is pretty. Is a pretty. Yes, sir.
Esav, very New Jersey, is prepared for the womb. is. An apple is food. So, you can differentiate them from the very beginning.
That's correct, but... But as their life went on, what the veteran said is that until they were 13, no one could tell the difference between them. They both had the brisker payas. They had the payas behind their ears. They were both super, super excited. Like, they were like imagine what you were like in seventh grade. They weren't that in seventh grade. Like, they were both excited. Ace had like loved it. Oh, a new Akli Yucker, amazing.
So you didn't mention the difference.
What?
They're even
everything was like you could not tell the difference between the two. You're saying that they were okay, fine. I hear. So even if we want to take mental, but they were both going on the same trajectory in life, and then all of a sudden the bar mitzvah hit, and you know one decided to put on tefillin, and one decided I'll keep that in the closet. Or however, metaphor, however you want to look at it, but they were literally going on the same path, and then they totally took a different trajectory for life. And I think that every one of you, like, you could, it'd be cool actually to have like a 10-year reunion. I mean, I'm not so, yeah, reunions are fun, I suppose.
It's like a college tour.
Yeah, you're down for it. It'll be by your home. You're gonna host it. Yeshua's gonna host the reunion. We'll keep that here. We'll mark this for 10 years from now. Yeshua's gonna have the 10-year reunion, and hopefully, we're gonna all you'll all have been like successful soldiers, and then you're gonna come back here, and you'll have finished like 10 years of kollel, and you're all gonna be like on the same path in life. But the Metzias and the Emes is that's probably not going to be. It's not gonna be the case. It's not gonna really be what's gonna happen. And the route that you're each taking, and you each are doing better than people that didn't. You decided to come back. You decided to be here, which means at something in your life, at the very minimum, like, I just don't want to move on with life. That's a step. That's realizing at least I don't want to be yet in the college and overwhelming, whatever is going on there. Like, you decided you wanted to be here. But that path that you each have in life and what you're building for each of yourselves, it's all happening now. The next few months, even if you are, I know it's like a long time. You know, Hanukkah is like a week, but I know it's like a really, really long time. Okay, it's 3.5. I got that. I know it's been really long. Sukkot was only like a month ago. It's been like a really, really long time. It's been a real grind. What? That was only like 5 weeks ago. Sukkot ended 5-6 weeks ago. Ended 5 weeks ago. Started 6 weeks ago. Yeah, I go. I know. It's hard, but it really is. Like what each of you are going to make of your lives is really now. Like, you're deciding for yourselves what I want my life to be. Whatever that trajectory is, no one's gonna go into Esav route. We get that, but the Yaakov route is within, or whatever the Yaakov is for each of you, is within everybody's grasp. It's really possible. And it's about making those decisions today that this is very important to me. That is very important to me. I need to make sure that I'm doing that. And then looking back at your life as you go forward, how did I end up doing it? Because life ends up more or less becoming rote. Like, you just start to do things. Like, how did that start to do things? There was a point. There was a point in one's life where they decided this is important to me, and there's like no. There's no like thinking about like how you're able to do it. You know, some of these makomos where I was, minyanim were pretty late to my liking. So if you have to do an hour drive, it makes it a little easier because minyan could be at like an absurd hour like 8:30. But when you're meeting someone at 8 and you have an hour drive, okay, fine. But, like other places, like I think the night I slept in Binghamton, I literally woke up like 3 hours before chakras. I'm like, I'm not gonna get up now. But like, I'm like literally lying in bed for like an hour doing nothing. I'm like, all right, let's watch like Knicks Grizzlies highlights. And then I'm like, okay, I can only do that, that's like 6 minutes. And now it's like 2 hours till chakras. I'm like, all right, fine, whatever, spend a little time. And then, you end up just learning, but like, how did that come about? Maybe you guys are able to do it. Maybe you're not able to do it. But like, I couldn't wake up at like noon if I tried. Like, I would literally wake up probably 100 times before noon. Like I wouldn't sleep for more than like 6 minutes at a time from like 7 o'clock and on. How did that happen? Because like whatever, life just becomes life. You just start doing it, and you don't think secondly about it. Like I had, there was a Chabad dinner last Sunday. So I had like 50 shlichim on my plane. I actually sat next to one. He was pretty annoyed that like, at the end of the flight, I'm like, oh, you're probably pretty annoyed that like I'm religious. He's like, yeah, like, he had just gone around like putting tefillin on everyone. He really wanted to put tefillin on me. But, you know, he lost out. But there were like a lot of Chabad shlichim. So I'm not such a fan of davening with minyanim on a plane. But the thing is like also super annoying. Like, I had the nicest stewardess on my plane. I think like usually, like, rightfully so, like, you ever, like, you know, like, on my flight to Israel, to America, we took off 20 minutes early because there were very few from Jews. And this flight took off 20 minutes late because for some reason, like, from Jews, like, they don't know how to put their bag in the overhead. They don't understand, like, when they're telling you to sit down. Like, it's not like if Ramon makes an announcement, the bus isn't leaving until you sit down. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Like, the plane is not taking off till you sit down. The plane, if they're telling you, like, there's no room here, come to business or somewhere else to put your stuff, and you're trying to find room and there's no room. Like, they're not dumb. They do this for a living. They know what they're doing, but like, they were like the nicest. Like, one person said, like, oh, why don't you put your hat on top of my bag? Like, you're like so accommodating to Jews, which I feel like they don't generally do. And it was like almost the entire flight was Orthodox. Like, they were like an unbelievable, like really, really an unbelievable, unbelievable stewardess. I don't think they objected to the minyanim because I think they had shachris and mincha on the plane. Although they were pretty quiet because they literally got mincha next to me and I slept through it. But I woke up as they were saying aleinu. But you know, they, for them, like, you know, it's not a question. Like, they may daven shachris at 11. They may live in like literally in like Ecuador where, you know, you haven't had a from Jew ever be there, but somehow like it's their purpose to be there. And so when they have an opportunity, like, they're like, yeah, we're on a plane, of course we're going to daven with me, even though they're all the way back to Israel, so I assume there has to be from Jews, but they probably are in the types of places where, like, you know, there's literally nobody. So of course they're going to take that opportunity. They would never think about not taking that opportunity, but it's just ingrained in them. Like, this is like just, it's a way of life. Like, yeah, I would find it, like, if I asked, like, I don't know, if I asked Reinberg, you want to put on tefillin, and he said no, so that would be my history, that would be my career. I would never again try to get someone to put on tefillin because I would be like so dejected. Like, them, if you say no, like, they just move on to the next person. Like, it's like really like they have such purpose in life. Maybe I need more purpose in life. I don't know. But they really have like the most direction and purpose. And like, and for them, like, everything's just rote. It's like super, super easy because they've been doing it for so long. But they didn't wake up. They didn't wake up at their bar mitzvah, and it was all of a sudden super easy. They started making good decisions. They started having good habits, and things just becoming, probably eating. It's probably much easier now for you to eat oatmeal than last year when you started eating that garbage. It becomes easier when you start doing, oatmeal is only good with sugar. Once you put sugar in oatmeal, it's no longer healthy.
Honey.
I'm not such a honey guy. Honey's very sticky. It makes a huge mess. But I'm sure it's very good. But they start, you know, you start getting these practices in, and everything becomes just totally, totally routine. The narrative of your life, guys, you decide it. It's all in yours. At this point, I don't know, it's November 24th. Wow, crazy. Last time I gave it was my birthday, and today is my anniversary.
Happy birthday.
I've tried singing. It doesn't go. But today, as we're sitting here on November 24th on Thanksgiving, the narrative for your life.
Are you married on Thanksgiving?
No. Thanksgiving is not always November 24th.
Oh.
The narrative of your life, you're each going to choose what your life is going to be. The rest of this year, you could very easily, and it's about, like, I don't know, maybe you recall, so I had the conversation with you, it's a little awkward. You just nod your head, you say, I'm going to show up more, and then you just, you know, go back to doing whatever you're doing. I don't think, he probably doesn't really care if you do that at this point. But whatever you're going to decide, or maybe it does, whatever you're going to decide for your life, it's in your choice. You're choosing. If you're saying, you know, it's November 24th, however amount of time I have left, like, I'm creating because when I get to YU, even if I go to BMP Reinberg, but I'm creating that I'm going to have a life committed to Torah, you're deciding that now. And on the flip side also, if you say, I'm totally checked out, either till whenever I leave in January, June, Shana Gimel, Shana Zal, whatever I do, the army, whatever I decide, but I'm totally checked out. I'm putting, my life is on hold. I'm just going through the motions of being here. You're deciding that. The root, you control your own destiny. Because nobody else controls it for you. And when you're going to look at what your life becomes, you're going to realize it's because of, it's you. I controlled it for better or for worse. I made good decisions. I made bad decisions. I'm a class clown. I'm a serious guy. Whatever it is that you are, but you control what it's going to be. It's not other people. It's not of the surrounding. Like, I'm able to do that. Oh, there's always time off in yeshiva. I'm never able to learn. Okay, so now you have Friday learning. Now you have other things. Build, create things for yourself. Make it a more serious place. Make your life more serious. Or have fun. Do whatever you want. Like, you know, we could take both routes. Just whatever you each want to do, you can do. But understand, like, you're controlling your life. You know, you're not 10 anymore. You don't have to ask like permission to go to the bathroom. Like, you don't have to ask permission to be here to do that. Like, you get to do whatever you want. I think you're even able to do your own, like, right, this laundry service here. You can do laundry.
You even do your own laundry.
Like, I don't do my own laundry. You even do your own laundry. Like, you have complete, I don't even know how to turn on my laundry. You have complete control. You have more control of your life than I have of my life. Talk about that after. But you each get to decide what it is that you want, what it is that you want to make of your life and controlling that destiny. And there's no blaming other people. The greatness that you're all going to have for yourself is because you're deciding now, like, I'm not wasting the rest of my time. I'm here anyway. I might as well make the most of it. Everybody should have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.